Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Great I Am Radio, raising the vibration on everyday life matters with heart and soul. Here's your host, Rebecca Johns.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. It is a pleasure to be with you this amazing Tuesday afternoon. I'm your host, Rebecca Johns. Getting on the air a few minutes early today. Super excited about today's guest. I want to get some information out to you immediately about the ministry, though. And I thought, I better do this now, because my guest today and I, we are going to be talking for a little bit. We've got a lot to cover with y'all, and I'm excited to have her on. But today's conversation with some announcements from the Godly Woman and Great I Am Radio, so that we'll have plenty of time to speak with our special guest. Most of you know by now, if you've been listening to me even for a few weeks, that you know that the heart of my work is genuinely activating the great I am in humanity, in each and every one of us. The opportunity is there to be our greatness. In psychology, it's said that we're using 12% of our potential brain power, self-power, if you will. Biblical terms, we say, greater is the spirit that is in me than he that is in the world, whether you take that literally to mean all the people in the world or simply the flesh matters of this world, that there's something greater universally and in all cultures. Subcultures, there is some expression of, hey, human, then you've come to believe about yourself. And I think it's important for each of us to find the expression of that for ourselves. For me, it's been in my work as a holistic health practitioner, as a purpose coach, and as a minister of the gospel, the teachings of Jesus of Nazareth. I genuinely believe the words that joint and equal heirs to the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, which is at hand now. I genuinely believe the capacity of our divine nature is available in our earthly nature if we would attune to it. And so if you would visit livinggodspromises.com, you will be introduced to a series of programs and ways to connect with a greater community that is supportive of this belief, this inner knowing that this isn't all I am, this earth suit. This isn't all I can be, this earth suit. There's more to it. There's more to me. There's more to this life. This can't be it. And isn't it funny that it's not just a modern day question? Isn't it interesting? But, and I don't propose to have all the answers, but I do appreciate the journey I've been on for discovery, for healing, and for getting myself nestled into a mindset that says I am the creator incarnate. There is a healing power through me. There is a divine essence, a magnetism, an electricity, a current, a frequency. There is something. Whether you measure it by your belief system or you measure it in HZs, there's something more to the human being than these skin sacks, these earth suits. And I don't think we've even touched the tip of the iceberg, really. Whether you agree with the psychological evaluation of that we use 12% of our brain capacity, or you believe some other framework. The truth is, humanity has an opportunity in front of itself right now, and that is to heal, to awaken, to grow. Before we bring our guest on, I'll share with you the quote from Albert Einstein, who said, "No problem can be solved by the same level of consciousness that created it." And I'm excited to introduce you today to a fantastic lady from the state of Washington here in the USA. She is the founder of an establishment in Washington called Best Acupuncture. And if you're here on our page today at greatiamradio.com, you can look at today's show profile. There is a link directly to her practice. She has seen different parts of the country and knows the process that life can bring us to have the injuries of mind, emotion, body, and the oppression of that great human spirit. And she's here to talk to us today about how we can let our healing power flow with Chinese medicine. Help me welcome acupuncturist and holistic healer, Kim Blaufuss. Welcome to the show, sister. Thank you for being here with us today.
Rebecca, thank you, sister. Thank you so much for inviting me, and thank you to your audience for tuning in and listening today.
Absolutely, our pleasure. You've got such a fascinating story. I would love if, before you talk to us about the solution, the answer, the possible pathway that your work has brought you to, if you wouldn't mind telling the audience a little bit about what was the dilemma, what was the problem, what got created that you had to resolve in your own life, that you found the answer in this work that you're doing and now offer to others. What brought you here?
You know, so this story, it started a long time ago, and it actually started with my mom. And my mom had cancer, and she went through all the Western medical treatments. And, you know, about 5 years later, it came back. And I was probably in high school at this time. And it was stage 3, and she was HER2 positive. At that time, they weren't doing the BRCA, they weren't doing the gene testing. But later in life, we all got gene tested when my sister got cancer, and it was found that both my mom and my sister had 2 BRCA2 gene mutations on top of everything else. Well, the second time around, she decided she wasn't going to do Western medicine this time. And back then, Western medicine was very, very aggressive. They were doing about 6 times as much chemo per treatment as they do today. So She found a Chinese medical provider who focused on the nutritional aspects of Chinese medicine, and she worked with him and started eating for health. And, you know, for all of us back in the 70s, that just seemed like craziness, but, you know, what are you going to do?
She did.
Right?
Yep.
And so, you know, there's all that stress and fear wrapped around something like that happening, because we're so trained to believe that there's only one truth. And what ended up happening is, you know, a year went by, and then another year went by, and then like a third year went by, and she finally went back to her Western provider, and she went back to her regular medicine provider, and he was surprised to see her, for one, because he thought for sure she would have died by now. And when they tested her, she was in complete remission. And for me, as, you know, a naive high school person, that just seemed crazy. That just seemed beyond reality. So it just, I just thought it was magic. And I wanted to understand that magic. I wanted to understand how we could bring our body back into alignment, how something so simple as foods, that you could understand foods so well, that you could understand how they could help heal you, and that they did heal you when, you know, we had the brightest minds in the world working through regular medicine to find a way to heal you of cancer, and they couldn't. And so that was the start of the journey, and it wasn't until much later that I was actually able to train in Chinese medicine, but it was between that time that I went through a huge exploration of talking to different beliefs, to different cultures, just trying to find that magic in life that could help us find that balance and, you know, find that more of who we are. And I think that's what I really like about what you do, Rebecca, is you want people, you want to help them find that more of who they are, because I agree with you. Amen. We are all more than who we are.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to be willing, or we just have to find that path, right?
Yes. And it's personal, I think, Kim. You know,
totally.
I think that one of the things, I love what you said, that we've been talked into believing there's only one truth. There's only one way. There's only, if this is right, that means that is wrong. And the blessing of building a community, and, you know, some of you are already part of the community on Facebook, Activating Your Great I Am. I invite you to join us there. I invite you to join and connect with me, connect with Kim. The brilliant part of creating a community that can come together and speak on this level and connect on this level is we all get some relief because we don't have to be wrong. Sometimes it's the path of self-discovery that finds what's right for you to live that great I am life. So when did it get personal for you, Kim? It started with mom, which is epic that you had that introduction in your youth. You know, you're talking 70s and 80s. Like, all I'm thinking is I was a Happy Meal kid during that
right.
era. I didn't know food had anything to do with anything related to health until I was way older than in the 70s and 80s. So when did it get personal? How did it go from mom's story to yours?
You know, I think there was always parts of it that was personal. But what ended up happening is when I couldn't play in it anymore, when I couldn't dabble in my own spirituality anymore, was when after I ended up being a caregiver for both my mom and my sister. And for all of you who have gone through that caregiving journey, my heart goes out to you because, you know,
amen.
Yeah, it's a big journey. And the best day is today. Every day after that, it's not going to get any better than today. And, you know, just keeping that in mind as you're interacting with whoever you're caregiving, that really helped me keep a real positive, engaged attitude as I walked with them. But it was really stressful. I didn't get the bonus caregiving journey that some of my friends have talked about. My mom started falling into dementia. She started becoming the angry dementia. There were so many other issues going on. And then with my sister, we were so close, and just walking that journey with her was probably the hardest thing that I've ever done in my life.
Yes.
And then it was over, and I was a hot mess. And, you know, and it ended as quickly as it started. It was so bizarre. But what ended up happening is I had been under so much stress, and I just, I couldn't pull it back together. And one day I just found myself in the emergency room for some sort of crazy digestive issue. And what was funny was it wasn't mission critical. I wasn't dying, so they weren't going to give me the surgery, which I thought was hilarious because I'm not one to do any surgeries or to do medications. But that night I was like, yeah, dude, do the surgery. Get that. If you think it's my gallbladder, take that puppy out. I want it gone. I have never been in so much pain in my life. And I think the crazy thing was I was in so much pain, it took them 4 morphine shots to kill it.
Phew.
And, yeah, I know. And being that I've never done painkillers, I was kind of impressed. The nurse, she was such a crack-up. She gave me the first shot, and I looked at her, and I said, do you think that will get rid of the pain? And she looked at me, and she goes, no.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, and she was so right. But at the end of that, they said I had to go talk to my doctor, and so I did. I went and talked with my doctor, and he was younger. He was probably in his mid-30s, and they're different. That's a different doctoring group. They're more willing to talk to you, and they're more willing to treat it as a school problem. And so you can ask them questions and they're like, oh, I've got to answer my school problem first in line here. And so we were talking about it, and he kept on throwing out that, you know, yeah, I'll give you the surgery, but you know what? You can do nothing. And then he'd start backtracking on that one. And, you know, by the fourth time, I was like, why do you keep on telling me that you can do nothing? And, you know, given the option to be honest, he felt free to be honest. And he said, you know, because I can't guarantee you that this will get rid of the pain. And, you know, there's these times in life when people will say that one statement to you and you finally hear them. And that was that statement that I finally heard him. You know, I thought all of a sudden everything that happens in clinic came rushing back into my head. And every one of my gallbladder people except 2, all their pain had come back. And it was unmanageable. And I can tell you of the 2 that hadn't come back at that time, one of them, it's come back. And so now we're down to only 1 that it hasn't come back for. And so when he said that, and all of a sudden I realized that what he was saying was true, that this is a surgery that they do, but it's long-term implications. You know, there's a risk in that. It's going to come back. And the biggest risk is that your gallbladder is your early warning system. And without that, you continue to do these things that are really detrimental to your body. And by the time your body is able to tell you, you're killing me, you're so far down that line, you're so far down that road that it's really hard to turn around, and you're usually much older.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and, you know, as we get older, we have a much harder time changing. So that was when I realized... Yeah, I know, huh?
Creatures of habit that we are.
Completely creatures of habit. So that's when I realized, you know, I got to do something a little bit different here. I know how to do this. Let's be real. I know how to do this. So, you know, I ended up turning around and moving into using Chinese nutritional therapy on myself and changing my eating patterns to identify what foods would heal me. You know, what foods are going to clean out? So not everybody is going to be over their 50s, probably, that is listening to your channel. But, you know, when you hit that 50s, you know how you just suddenly start expanding?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
a big yes from my audience.
Yeah. In Chinese medicine, they call that phlegm, and that's really different from gaining weight. Phlegm is about inflammation, and it's about fluids that, you know, are created through inflammation. And, you know, you hear it from older women all the time. I am eating 500 to 700 calories a day, and I'm not losing anything. Well, you're not losing anything because that weight is not weight gain, it's inflammation. And so, you know, trying to change my eating to start consuming foods that addressed inflammation, that address what Chinese medicine calls phlegm in the body. And from there, it really took off because then I started working with a number of Taoists. It's like my world suddenly exploded as soon as I decided to be honest with myself and try to do something different and really make a commitment to that. I had been looking for Taoist practitioners to train with for like over a decade, and I couldn't find any. And suddenly they just exploded on my canvas, and I started working with these different Taoist practitioners. And it was through them that I started realizing that Chinese medicine, sure, today we know it as things to heal the physical body, but at a different time, maybe 1,000 years ago, it was used to heal the spirit. And, you know, then I was able to start taking the next step of helping me heal the spirit so that, you know, I could become exactly what you say, the greater I am. And
let me ask you something, just so that my audience can kind of hear your perspective. What does it mean to you when you say heal the spirit?
You know, if we think about today, I mean, there's so much binary thinking here in the United States, right? It's that black and white, right or wrong. And we teach our kids that from day one. You go to school and you are taught that there's one right answer and everything else is wrong. And, you know, you go to work and you get the same thing. You're taught that there's one right way to act and everything else is wrong. We're incredibly binary thinkers. But binary thinking doesn't fit for any of us, right? We're so unique. And so when we do this, we start crushing different parts of our soul. And when we crush different parts of our soul, we do things. We deny ourselves or we chastise ourselves or we criticize ourselves. For some reason, you know, we're wrong. I mean, how many times can you be right? If there's only one right answer to a question, you know, how many times can you be right? And there's not many. And so we turn around and we start criticizing ourselves and we start punishing ourselves. And, you know, and that can come out in all sorts of different ways. It can be us punishing ourselves. It can be us falling into depression. It can be us attacking or criticizing or judging other people. But somehow we lose harmony with the people around us and with ourselves. And so how do you start coming back into that harmony so that, you know, you can be a full participant in the world and with the people around you, and so that you can help yourself and everybody around you become better and become a greater person? Does that make any sense, Rebecca?
Oof. Does that make sense? You are talking my language. I'm sitting over here like dancing in my chair as you're talking, Kim, because, you know, you and I might have a little bit of different nomenclature, but we're talking the same message. And it makes total sense to me. And that's why this audience that tunes in is tuning in, because they know too, even if it's just an intuitive knowing, like there's got to be more than this, right? Like as you were sharing about your own journey, and I can say about my own journey that it's like, this can't be it, right? Like this can't be it. There has to be more. And you see in so many different cultures, and you're right, in the West, it's like this or that. But in the East,
yeah,
it's not. In the East, there is room, there's flow, there's space, there's a respect for the creator, whatever you call the creator, the source of life, the life force energy, the chi, whatever it is that your reference from your perspective is. In the East, it's all about that as the cornerstone of how to get this earthly physical realm to go well for us individually and collectively. So let's go to the next part. Yeah, please, go ahead. Go ahead. I have a question for you after this, but don't forget what you're saying. Please go ahead, speak first.
Okay. There is a saying that I love, that I've attached to, that I learned when I was formally training in Chinese medicine from one of my instructors from China. And it was the statement of let 100 flowers bloom, that there's many different answers, that there's many different ways. And so let 100 flowers bloom.
I love that. I love that. I mean, that's moving. So help us understand then Taoism that drew you, that called you, and what is its teaching, and how have you come to use it as a practitioner that does acupuncture? Where, how does that all fit together?
So Chinese medicine, you know, it's about like 5,000 years old that they know for sure, that they actually have written documentation that it was used back then. And there's multiple branches of Chinese medicine, and it's about how do you keep your body healthy? So different attitude. In ancient China, the doctor got paid if you stayed healthy. And if you didn't stay healthy, then he had to pay you. So, you know, he had some skin in the game. You know, we don't see that today, huh? We'd have a lot of poor hospitals.
We wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole here in America.
Yep. Yep, a lot of poor hospitals out there with that attitude. So, so five different branches of Chinese medicine. But the original philosophy that existed in China was Taoism. And that was a philosophy. And there's a whole thing about when it became a religion. And that happened around 200 BC it was about 200 BC that they started, that one Taoist priest started turning it into a religion to train the masses. So Taoism previously was usually limited to a higher hierarchy. And then it wasn't until this one person started bringing it out and training it to the masses that they turned it into a religion. Okay, so there it is. There's this Taoism. That was the fundamentals of Chinese medicine. Now, I used to think that Taoism was a cornerstone of Chinese medicine. And then there's all these other cornerstones. What I realized after studying and reading and everything is it wasn't that Taoism propped up Chinese medicine. It was that Chinese medicine was used to help people reach the Tao, you know, reach their great I am, right? To help keep them in balance in a world that could be under chaos so that they could participate fully and ethically in a world and help everybody else participate fully and ethically in a world. So it wasn't that Taoism was a fundamental principle of Chinese medicine. It was that Chinese medicine was a principle for Taoism for helping you stay and find your way back to the Tao. And then as we move forward and Taoism, you know, Confucianism came in around 700 BC and took a big chunk out of Taoism. And then we see Buddhism coming in around 200 AD, that took another big chunk out of Taoism. So it lost a lot of its strength in China and in Asia. And right now it seems to be going through a revival. But so when I went back to training in Chinese medicine, it's only been in the last year or two that I realized that there is this shift, that it wasn't, Taoism wasn't a foundational principle of Chinese medicine, that Chinese medicine was a foundational principle of helping you attain the Tao. And most people today, they might know about Neidong, which is a type of Qigong that helps you find your way to the Tao. And they don't know that every other branch of Chinese medicine does the same thing, that there's an aspect of it that helps train you to find your way back.
Mm-hmm. I love this statement. I wrote it down just now, that Chinese medicine helps you attain and uphold Tao so that you can fully and ethically participate in this world and this life. I see it from my own place. I don't say it in those words, but that's why I have a holistic healing ministry, right? That's why I'm a certified holistic health practitioner, so that as we attain health through these ways of holistic health care, that what we're really doing is creating a bridge for you to attain access to that great I am, to uphold it. These vessels are containers, these earthly containers hold an essence that in your cultural perspective is called the Tao, but we can agree that beyond nomenclature, it is what I'm calling the great I am, you're calling the Tao. It's the same thing.
Totally.
So I love this. Chinese men, I want y'all to listen, those of you that are listening, by the way, I got to say this. I don't know if anybody is, sometimes I have a shy audience. They listen really well. They take lots of notes. They message me later, but they don't necessarily call in. And I want to remind all of you that you can call in to today's show. Don't be shy about being not just a listening audience, but an engaged audience. Oh, can you hear me, Kim?
I can.
Okay. Okay, great. That we be mindful that your listening is not just the function of listening. You're here as an audience member to participate and be engaged. So don't be shy. For those of you that want to call in and ask some questions, feel free to do that. You can do that by calling area code 515-602-9622. It's like this thing I always forget to tell people, Kim. I apologize. But 515-602-9622. If you have questions for Kim or me, please call in. We're going to be on the air for another 25 minutes, approximately 20 minutes. But call in if you have questions and ask, because, it might look like there are two people talking right now who have differences. Kim from the Orient of things and me from the Middle East of things. But isn't this just classic humanity? Classic humanity to get fooled by the package and not understand that whether it's a thermos or a shot glass or a wine glass, that it's water that's inside and that's what matters. And so if you've got questions to understand, you might be listening going, okay, wait, this is making sense, but also blowing my mind. Call and ask questions, okay? And before I forget, Kim, would you please give the audience your website so that they can visit and reach out to you directly if they'd like?
Oh, I'd love to. Thanks, Rebecca. So the website is best, B-E-S-T, and then there's a hyphen and the word acupuncture.com. And acupuncture is A-C-U-P-U-N-C-T-U-R-E. So it doesn't have two C's in it. And then there's a couple different ways that even I misspell it. So, Rebecca, though, one of the things that I really love that you said is, you know how I said, let 100 flowers bloom? You know, that you talk about this being the same thing, and we just wrapped it up in different gift packaging. And that really talks to every one of us is a unique individual, and we're all going to the same place, but we all have different lessons to learn, and we have to try different paths. And maybe we have to take pieces of one path and pieces of another path, or maybe we need a totally different path. But there's many different ways to get into town. And so searching for those different avenues is what helps you find who you really are.
So talk to me a little bit and our audience about how bridge the gap, right? Like, look at me, for example. I'm recovering from a car accident. I'm looking for an acupuncturist. I don't know why you have to be so far away from me, but I'll forgive that for now. I'm looking for an acupuncturist. I believe wholeheartedly in the art and science of acupuncture. Talk to me about how I'm recovering from a car accident. I come to you for back pain and ask for you to treat me as an acupuncturist. How does the Tao work into me coming to you for care? How does that work between me and you if you're my practitioner?
Okay, so let's say if you were coming for a car accident, first off, I would treat you as a physical acupuncturist. I would treat you as I learned in traditional Chinese medicine, because that doesn't slip on any of your, that doesn't let go of anything that you're holding on to from your spiritual and emotional past. That's a totally different thing. You know, there's a lot of people who are just looking for physical relief, but they certainly are not really willing to look at some of the crud that happened in their life. And, you know, so usually someone will come to me specifically for emotional healing, and then we'll talk about, you know, well, what do you really want to do with this? How far do you want to go? Do you just want your world today to feel good, or do you want to be able to start releasing, causing you to go down that path of whatever's stressing you, you know, because we all have those knee-jerk reactions that, you know, everybody, you know, they try and say that you can go to counseling and that will get rid of it, or that you can do some weekend course in psychology and that will get rid of it. And yet what we've learned is behaviors to hide it, you know, to manage it, but it's still there and it's still causing that crushing, agonizing irritation. And how do you change that? Is instead of trying to find a way to manage it, if someone comes in for emotional healing, how do you change that so it doesn't exist anymore? Okay, let me tell you. I had a 60-year-old client come in, and he's tough. You know, he looks like a biker, and he's angry, and he's tough. And he was really honest with me. He said, you know what? I would just like to wake up one day not hating my dad. And he was one of the first ones who got me to actually look at the Tao of healing in Chinese medicine. And so, you know, I told him, you know, okay, I'm not positive that I can do this, but let me try it. And since you have that much faith in me, I'll try it. And so we did, and we worked for about 3 months. And one day, it was so wild. One day he got off the table and he looks at me and he goes, I'm not pissed off anymore. And I'm like,
oh, wow.
Okay, that's amazing. That's an amazing gift to have Because, I mean, let's be real, Rebecca, most of us carry our crap until we get into our 50s, and then we're like, can I put this down now? But how? How do you put it down? So maybe in ancient China, they were working on this a lot sooner than we were, and maybe not. Who knows?
I'm touched by what you've said because, you know, our bodies are recording everything. I just had this conversation over the last couple of days on my lives on TikTok that, you know, our bodies, we're conductors. They're electrical. They hold water by 70 to 80%. This is programmable, this device that we are in. And these thoughts that we've been thinking and these words that we've been speaking silently or out loud have been programming it like a remote control with a television. You have to program it to be in sync. And we have spoken, whether it's been what's been spoken to us outside of us, many of us trauma from our youth or childhood. Maybe people weren't great with you and how they quote unquote should have been, could have been. But perhaps it's not that anymore, but we continue to perpetrate against ourselves that same conversation, that same offense, that same, oh, you idiot, or you're stupid, this is why things don't work out for you, that conversation that diminishes and disregards ourselves. Our bodies are cellularly holding. They're cellularly coming to agreement. So it makes complete sense to me that when someone has the spirit on them, so to speak, of anger or rage, that their body is also anguishing, and that over time, being someone who can be reflective as well as receive care on that body to release it from its torture, that you do suddenly, it does feel like that. You open your eyes one day and you're like, I'm kind of not mad. I'm actually okay with this life.
Yep, and the world looks so much different.
Yes. Yeah.
You
so
know,
how
Rebecca,
about
I think,
people? Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I think what you said is really just hits it right on the head, that we get stuck in a world that, you know, we didn't create. We were trained into this because, let's say from birth, let's say you came in with this clean slate and then you have your family of origin, and whatever's going on in your family of origin, whatever concerns that your mother or your father had, that is all that they can train you in. That's the best that they can do. And if it's good, then it's good. If it's not, then it's not. And so, you know, that training becomes so subconscious that we don't even know that we're hearing it anymore. We just do it.
I like to say that as a twig is bent, so the tree will grow.
There you go. That's nice.
Those of you who've
Dallas
seen even...
minister here.
I speak the flower language too.
Yep.
Right. but you know, I worked for a season of my life in the, funny enough, I worked for a landscaper. I did his marketing and I watched them reform trees that had seemed like they were too far gone. They seemed like the lean in them was too severe. And yet they've got these straps that they can put on these trees, and then they anchor the strap. They strap the tree real secure, then they anchor it into the ground, and they begin a process that takes time. It takes time, but it's focused, it's consistent, and they reform a tree. They bring it upright from its lean. They bring it into alignment and give it an adjustment, if you will. And that's what I hear in you, is that regardless of where someone starts, well, however bent, if you will, I am when I walk into your office, you're going to address the bend of me on a physical level, and then you're going to be able to get access to how I'm leaning that way in my spirit, in my energy, in my mindset, in my emotions, that leaning that way has created internally, has created the physical form of manifesting it. And I love that about the kind of work that you do and that you're offering. And the cool part about what you do that's different even from one that I do is that people get to use their medical insurance for you. So let's talk some practicals, because I do mean for this message to reach people who can ultimately call your phone and walk in the door and get business going with you and get the healing going with them. People that are right in your backyard, I pray, will get this message and want to call you. So let's talk logistics. If I want an appointment, what do I do? Is it out of pocket? Is it insurance? Talk to me about how your practice works so that people curious can understand.
So in the insurance industry, they do cover some aspects of acupuncture. And so usually for any physical ailments, a lot of the insurances may cover that. But the reality is, Rebecca, you know, they've been doing so much damage to the insurance industry today.
Mm.
It's a little bit iffy. It used to be really black and white, and I could say, yeah, you have insurance for sure. It says it covers acupuncture for sure. There, it's gotten a lot more gray out there and a lot less clear. So, yeah, your insurance might cover it, and it might say it does, and it might not. You might find that you have an insurance that most practitioners refuse to take anymore because they're so difficult to collect from, or a number
right,
of reasons. So
right.
That's the real negative aspect of this. A lot, probably right now, a big portion of my practice is actually cash pay, because even today, you know how difficult it is for you to get treatment, and then you also are aware of how much effort it takes for you to make sure that everybody got paid, because if they didn't, you
mm-hmm.
have to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are doing exactly what insurance wants them to do, which is, you know what, it's not that expensive. I will pay for this out of pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know what to say about that. I know maybe 5 years ago I was about 90% insurance. And
wow.
Then it just changed. And it became really difficult. And you know, today, even me, when I'm using my insurance, I'm really meticulous that it's covered before I do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't know anymore. So you might be
you
able
don't
to use
know.
Insurance. Yeah, you might not. Mm-hmm. It's just, I don't want to put that out there like that's a for sure, because it just mm-hmm. is, it's so up in the air right now. I mean, the laws are changing again. You know, you as a person who holds the insurance policy, is starting to get more rights that, you know, that the insurance company has to be clear if they're covering it or not. But there's a lot more that needs to change because there's still these gray areas that insurance companies slip into, and everybody gets
yes.
surprised at the end.
Yes. So it's a potential benefit for those of you listening. It's something that you may want to talk to Kim about when you call to schedule your appointment. You might want to talk to your own insurance company, understand what it is that they're providing you for. And I probably shouldn't have saved this down to our last 5 minutes, but I did. Talk to us, if you would, please, about what acupuncture even is. Why is this thing where you take needles? You know, some people are like, needles, but they're really fine, you guys. The needle is just hair thin. It's wildly thin. And so talk to us about how this whole system, you know, give us a kind of a 101, if you will, if you don't mind.
Okay, so I'm going to say that there's a number of ways that you can treat, and I'm going to call it Chinese medicine, not just acupuncture. But if we talk about the needles in acupuncture, that you're right. The needles are super thin. So, you know, the blood draw needles, your average acupuncture needle is about 10,000 times smaller than that. So in general, you don't really feel it. So if you can get a tattoo, you could have somebody throw in 100 acupuncture needles at one time, and it's still going to be as painful as the first prick from the tattoo gun. And then
I've had both,
needles,
and she's right.
You know, and there's needles that are 10,000 times smaller than your regular acupuncture needle, too. And if someone is, for some reason, super sensitive, then I go to that. But I don't want to leave it just there, because so much of the spiritual work that I do is done through Chinese herbs. And there is this magic in Chinese herbs that is so subtle and it's so insanely powerful. So they can go this other route that doesn't require needles if they're super afraid of needles. And it doesn't matter if they were looking to do the spiritual work. I have a tendency to go to herbs because, let's be real, plants in this world, there's this magical spiritual essence to plants. I mean, just walk through an old growth forest and it's overwhelmingly grounding. Mm-hmm. Did I lose you, Rebecca?
Oh, no, I'm here.
Okay.
A lot of us don't understand grounding.
Okay. So, you know, like when you're running around with your head cut off and you're like, I would just like to have a minute by myself. Or, you know, if I could just hang out with my significant other for just 5 minutes right now so that they can pull me back into my head, pull me back into my body, and so I'm calm again, and that I feel that I can address the world. You know, that I have to have the strength now to address the world as a rational or as a balanced and ethical individual. You know, for me, that's grounding, that pulling myself out of my head, pulling myself into my body. Now, you know, not everybody, I think, will feel grounding that way, but I'm a real liver person from a Chinese medical perspective. I mean, I think if you were, you know, for some people, grounding feels like water, you know, when they're floating in water and how peaceful it is.
Mm-hmm.
Each individual will find grounding a little bit different, but I think it's that place where you find peace.
I love it. Well, Kim, you're such a blessing. You're so, you know, I know my audience is going to pick up on this too. You're a heart person. You're a connection person, and you're a caring person. And that's why I wanted you to be on the show. And I'm glad we finally made it happen. I encourage you all, as the audience listening, you know, maybe you know somebody in Washington State. Maybe it's that territorially you can make a referral and send Kim's information their way. Maybe you're there yourself. Maybe you want to call and speak with her by phone and see how she might counsel you in the ways that are not acupuncture based, but there's so much to the breadth and scope that is Chinese medicine. And so if Chinese medicine in general is a draw for you, I invite you to reach out to Kim Blaufuss of Best Acupuncture. Kim, thank you so much for being generous with your time today, your knowledge, your expertise. I know it's taken you decades to acquire what you've made sound so simple and easy in this hour of conversation. Do you have any final words you want to leave with our audience today?
Rebecca, thank you so much for inviting me on your channel. Thank you for, you know, talking to me about this and, you know, and for us to be able to really identify how, you know, there is 100 flowers. There's 100 blooms. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for you, for your audience, you know, that they're here, that they're finding their way, and that they're looking for their own peace. I really have to congratulate you, Rebecca, on what you're doing.
Bless you, sister. We are definitely in arms doing the same work, and I'm grateful to know you. Thank you so much. We'll plan on having you on again later this year to share more goodness with us. But we'll say goodbye for now and bless you. Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you, Rebecca.
That is Kim Blaufuss. I'm like moved to tears. I moved to tears. You know, in a world that wants us divided, in a world that wants us to find the differences, in the world that wants me to look at you and say, you're over there and I'm over here, the theys, they versus us. Finding someone like Kim and connecting with her builds a bridge so that the us expands and that the they is reduced, that we discover that the theys are just us's. And while Kim and I may have unfolded and blossomed from two different flowers, you can say, we're still the flowers just the same. The same sun shines down on us. The same rain pours down on us. And so in life, there are 100 different flowers. And which one you're drawn to, which one's essence resonates with you and speaks to you, it's a gift from the divine. It's a gift from nature and supernature. And so I encourage you to trust your own inner call, your inner compelling to seek and to find, to ask to receive the answer, to knock on the door that it would be open to you. And in a world that is discouraging you, in a world that is saying, you know what, I don't really think so. I don't think so. I think that that's wrong. And I think you shouldn't ask that. And you shouldn't doubt. And you should go along with what we told you. That it's an act of rebellion to be a free thinker. It's an act of rebellion to say, I'm going to be peace in a world of chaos. I'm going to be healing in a world of hurt. But I invite you, I ask of you, and I would say that I even challenge you to take up your portion, take up your petal, take up your leaf, take up your flower. You know, it's an expression in Christianity that is said, take up your cross, but it's certainly the case, because when you're evolving in this way, going beyond your personality, going beyond the past, going beyond the narrative that has been in place, there is a death and there is a resurrection. Who see and are willing to see, so that you can be the doers and the sayers that bring a greater experience to humanity. Look, I don't know that anybody's coming to save us, but I know that we're already here. And we have the power within us, the great I am. 1 John 4:4, my beloved, you are overcomers, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I look forward to seeing you next week, same time, same channel, Great I Am Radio at 2 p.m. Eastern. My name is Rebecca Johns, and I bless you and your Great I Am.